Oh, excellent. Well, Simon Squibb, ladies and gentlemen, we have got a, well, somebody which, when I saw your TikToks, I was like, holy moly, I've got to get this guy on the podcast. And in fact, let me tell you, Simon, this is our first official podcast.
Right, so, wow, I'm on.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks
this
for
is,
coming on.
This is Mace, is Chris Mace, but we call him Mace. All right. And how many people you got watching on your TikTok at the moment?
I just put the live button on now, so two.
You got two?
There's 54,000 people online. I've got 400,000 plus followers, so I'm sure we'll build that up in the next half an hour.
Mate, that's pretty damn good. How quickly did you get that many followers on TikTok?
In a year.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah. No, and it's been a hobby for me, and I've enjoyed interacting with the TikTok community, and I've actually made friends with quite a few people on there too, which just kind of surprised me. Social media feels so antisocial, doesn't it?
But it does.
Real world friends being on the platform, kind of fascinating.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I followed you when I think I saw your video, liked it, and then a day later I saw another video. I was like, one thing that like resonated with you, I just thought you're just quite humble and quite what comes across like a normal guy. I mean, behind closed doors, you might be a psycho.
I am, but I do think I'm a normal person. I don't think I'm anything special.
Yeah, but that probably comes down to your you know, growing up, wouldn't it? You know, you just you said you were on the streets.
Yeah, well, I at 15 years old, my mother kicked me out of home, and so
what did
my
you father.
There'll be two different versions of this story, of course, but you know, sadly my father had died 3 weeks before suddenly of a heart attack.
Oh, man.
I think my mother and me were just going through quite a lot of emotion, and I was 15 years old and had hormones already.
Yeah.
And literally my mom said to me that line that we probably all heard as from a parent, which is, you do it my way or you take the highway. And I said, I'll take the highway. And she said, right. And she got all my stuff and she chucked it out the window.
Jesus. Well, I've done that once, mate, and then came back when I was hungry.
Well, yeah, I think to be honest, I my mother is still alive today. I don't like my mother, and in a way, I knew that it was actually the right thing to get away from her way of thinking, her style, and actually, I'm quite stubborn.
Yeah.
And something happened to me when I got kicked out. I always call it like my entrepreneurial muscle woke up.
Yeah.
Something just woke up in me, and for the first time in my life, I was able to ask, what am I meant to be doing? And I didn't look back, really. I picked up that stuff from the floor, and I went forward. It wasn't easy, but I never looked back. And now I look back at that time as a good moment in my life, not a bad moment, as strange as that might sound.
Yeah. So what, you're still in sort of no contact with your mum or anything, without going too deep? I mean...
No, I've tried many times to rekindle our relationship when I met my now wife. It's quite important, you know, that your partner meets your family, and so she's very close to her mum, so she wanted to meet my mum, and I didn't want to be a weirdo, so I took her to meet my mum, and it took probably about 6 months for her to realize, my wife, now wife, to realize what I know about my mum, and so, you know, but at first it's like, here's my mum, and friends, and I, you know, that we tried to reconnect, and then slowly both of our old ways kick back in, and we just don't get on. We think differently.
It's probably looking back on it, it's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Well, it is one of those things that I think, I don't know if other people struggle with it, but I feel like there is an element of like that they're your family, so somehow you should get on.
Exactly. You know what? I know exactly what you mean.
Translate into the real world. If you know yourself and you have, like, for example, I know this is going to sound bad, but I'm married to a Chinese girl. I've got a son, he's half Chinese, and my mother is racist.
Right.
You know, she literally said to my
brother,
Simon should not marry her. It will not be pure children.
Wow.
Think about that. You know, I've got a son who I love unconditionally so much. And my mum looks at him as if he's, you know, the incorrect creation, you know, like.
Oh, man. That's terrible, mate. That's deep.
Anyway, just being honest, you know, it's something I'm proud but it's a difficult one.
Yeah, but my wife's Venezuelan, so like, but so to think of me introducing my wife to my mum and my dad and things like that, you know, and for them to come back and say something like that, it'd be like, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
I can't imagine.
And for your poor wife as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's not the only story.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you come to a point where I crave close relationships and I value them. The older I get, the harder they are to make as well, as we all know. So I really value, you know, like that closeness that family should bring you. And I just feel sad that, you know, that's part of, money can't buy fixing that problem. And so, in fact, money makes it worse, believe it or not.
Well, funny you're going to say that, actually, because I was going to ask you this. Because like I said, just before we sort of like, we cut, just to have a little sort of like a little chat beforehand. I wanted to know more so, I'm intrigued about your businesses and things like that, but I'm really more intrigued about how going from having literally nothing to quite easily say you could probably have anything you want.
Pretty much. I couldn't have Twitter, by the way. I'd have to those things.
You mentioned about friends. Do you find it now, do you get a little bit paranoid, a little bit sort of edgy when you're meeting new people? Like, as in, do they want to know me because of what I've got or what I can give, as opposed to actually me as a person?
Mm. No, I don't feel that.
No?
No. I'm a big fan of President Obama, and he once said, you know, the day he became president, he doesn't feel he ever made another real friend after that.
Right.
You know, I haven't felt that. I always take everybody on, you know, face value and develop a relationship over time. I think that life is about trading. Mm. You know, I love my wife. My wife loves me. But if I didn't treat my wife well, she wouldn't love me for long.
Yeah.
You know, there is a process in any relationship. Money plays a part in that process. Yeah. But I've never felt that someone's being friends with me for money.
Mm.
And I feel like that it's part of life that I, for example, like to pay for lunch when I go out with people. Yeah. Because I've got money or haven't got money, I've always been that way.
Mm.
And so
see, that's another thing as well, because you think, if I, especially in your position, if I don't pay, people think I'm going to be a stingy little fucker. If I do pay, you know, it's all, look at him flaunting it about.
Yeah, yeah. So you just, that's why I say, for me, I go back to who I am naturally.
Yeah.
And without money, when I had nothing, I still used to always want to pay.
That's a good way, otherwise you go mental thinking about it all the time.
I haven't changed.
Just be true to yourself, mate, and just, that's it. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. So I feel like that's, my money does, in my view, only makes you happy if you're already happy.
Mm.
And if you're unhappy, it enhances things. If you're happy, it enhances things.
Mm.
But it doesn't, in most cases, actually change who you are. It might allow you to pretend to be something else, but in reality, you are who you are, I think, with or without money.
Yeah. The reason I ask that is because since my YouTube channel sort of blew up, you know, over time, where I've been, had more time to be out and about and, you know, going to the gym, for example, and things like that, you know, there's sometimes when I meet new people and they say to me, I don't know, do you want to go out, or, you know, have your number or whatever, and some of it, and sometimes, believe it or not, they say, I'm not asking just because you're a YouTuber. You know, it is strange how people can almost have to defend themselves and say, I'm not asking just because I know what some people are like. They want to speak to you or get to know you because of X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
And I just think that with you, it could have been to the extreme, you know, but it's good that you're humble and you just, you know, you pick your friends you've got really well, clearly.
I would say I don't have many friends, if I'm being honest about it.
Mm.
I have lived all over the world, and it actually has made it quite hard to have consistent friends. So I've lived in Hong Kong for 20 years, on and off, Shanghai, Beijing, Bali.
Wow.
Lived in the UK for 20 years, but, you know, I've always worked. And so, you know, I have a close circle. My wife is my best friend, and I've got three other friends in my life, so I don't have a big circle. Yeah. That being said, you know, I do lately through social media, as I mentioned earlier, I've had more time for friendship because I'm not working as hard as I used to. And so sometimes with work, I haven't had time to make a lot of friends, but now I do have money. I do have time. I do have time to invest in friendships, because friendships is about spending time with people and giving up time for people. And I've always valued time as I don't have a lot of.
I heard that in your TikToks when you said money buys you time. That's what it gets you. And that,
it's the only value it gets you.
Yeah.
What was that story, Simon?
Money, in my view, people spend money on things like a property or a car. Yeah. They're wasting their money. The only thing you should spend money on is buying yourself time.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true, mate, because we all just chase, like, I work and I have no time, you know. Time is hard. And I'm the same as you. I've got family, love your family. It is really difficult. And if you wanna be successful, then you have to give something up. And usually that is family time because you're constantly working. So it's hard.
It is hard. And I think it's something that you have to accept. I have my best friend, when he got married, the weekend he decided to get married was one of the biggest activities for my business. I basically have I had a big event business, and we had a Credit Suisse conference at this weekend, and it's worth tens of millions to my business. I had to be at that event for that weekend and not his wedding.
Oh, no.
And those sorts of decisions are, you know, they're not talked about, I guess, on the journey to success.
Yeah.
They're hard decisions.
I'm sure you'd understand, though, Simon. £10 million.
But it was not an easy one. No. Actually, this is really maybe a bit bad, but he got divorced, and I have to say I was happy. I never liked the person he married, but that's not why I didn't go.
No.
And so every time he talk about his wedding, I feel bad because he's my friend.
Yeah.
He always understood. He never judged me. He never made me feel bad for it. Mm. But I felt bad for it, that I'd had to make that decision. Because it sounds like I picked money over him, which wasn't the case. Yeah. It was literally make my business work.
Yeah.
And now I get to spend a lot of time with him because I worked so hard back then that I'm able to enjoy my time now. Yeah. So I bought time back then.
I would imagine as well, it's not just 10 million. It's also a knock-on effect to everybody else who's working for you and around you.
Well, yeah, I mean, at that particular time, I had a company called Fluid. I had 60 people working for me. If that event had gone wrong, I would have had to fire everybody.
Wow. I saw that. What? Can you tell me a little bit about Fluid? Is that something that you used to have? Is it now yours? Is it what?
Yeah, so that's a company I built in Hong Kong. It became the largest independent agency in Hong Kong, and I sold it to PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I started it from my living room with my now wife.
No way, mate.
How?
My first employee lived in my apartment while we built it, and so it one of those things, but it took 15 years to go from zero to selling to PricewaterhouseCoopers, but it was one of those businesses, frankly, I enjoyed it. When I sold it, I thought selling a company was like the dream. Mm. And actually, again, most of my friends worked in that company because that's the people I spent time with.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
In some respects, I sold my family, and I had a real strange process. Initially, excitement because the money dropped in the bank and you're like, wow, this is amazing. What a story. I've sold my company.
Yeah.
And at 6 months, it felt great. And then slowly I started to feel lonely. I started to feel like I didn't have any, you know, identity anymore, because I was always Simon that built Fluid.
My purpose.
And you know, I had this, you could come to my office and see my legitimacy, you know, because this is what we do. And, you know, we had big ideas and we were able to make them happen. And suddenly I didn't have any of that. Mm. I'd sold all of that. And all I had was cash, which is pretty boring. Cash is pretty boring.
It's right for you to say that, Simon.
There's this thing, Simon. No, I know.
I know. But in reality, I guess cash is boring. You can spend it and make it interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
But what can you spend it on? You can spend it on a Ferrari and drive that around for a while, which I've done. And then after a while, takes about 3 weeks, and you start saying, oh, this car needs to service, or this car got scratched, I need to get that fixed, or this car's down in value, isn't it? And if you've worked hard to build your money up, you know, it doesn't matter how much you got, you can't help but feel that. Mm. Next thing you know, this bloody thing owns you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're working to keep it alive.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And then I'm putting it up as a picture of me in front of it, as if suddenly that's my identity. That's not a good identity. I don't want to be. That's not who I am. You know. So I think, and I got rid of those things because I don't want them to own me.
Mm.
And they don't buy you time. They take up your time. I'm the only one insured on the bloody thing, so I have to drive. And I have to wait 3 hours while they fix it.
Yeah.
Buying time, I'm working for that bloody car.
How many cars have you got? Are you into cars?
Well, I've got 23 cars.
I'm not. I was just watching a thing about Ronaldo saying he's got 24 cars. I that's a lot of shit. I don't
want. But it depends if you're into them or not.
To be fair, if you're a collector, and that's something like, you know, some people collect stamps.
Yeah.
You know, you've got like his amount of money.
Not many people collect stamps, mate.
Do you know what? Funny you should say that, because when I was in the post office the other day, I know Steve in there, right? And I asked him, I said, do people still collect stamps? He says, you'll be surprised. People, it's quite an expensive game now. So thank you very much.
Sorry, a fair one.
But I want to just take me back a little bit, right? So when you left your home, were you 15? Is that right?
Yeah.
And so you must have been crap in it, really, in a way.
I didn't have time to crap it, to be honest. No? I basically got kicked out of home. And I just had literally this kind of moment of awakening where everything that I'd known before was suddenly not there anymore. You know, I have three brothers. They're not around suddenly. Mm. I've got, of course, a mother and a father. Suddenly that's not around. I've got no comprehension of paying bills or any of those things. And then suddenly, like a crash course in real life, I'm learning how the world really works. And at 15 years old, I went into imagine putting someone in the middle of the Sahara or something, and like it survives, run to water and die.
Yeah.
There is
where,
no.
Where did you get that drive from then? When you was 15, how did you just bing? You know, I know what I'm gonna do.
It's in us all, right? I think drive is a very, very interesting thing. I think it's in us all. And what happens sometimes is if you're a hunter and someone brings you food every day, you will forget to hunt.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You will lose the hunger to hunt. Why would you go out there and get cold and risk it, right? But when the food's gone, the first feeling is, I have an instinct here. I know it's there, right? Meant to hunt. And at first, you have no idea how to hunt. Mm. But instincts will kick in, and then you watch other people that are having to hunt. Next thing you know, you're hunting. You know what happened to me when I started hunting? I fucking loved it. I enjoy taking an idea from my head and making it real, creating my own meal. Mm. I didn't need my mother to cook me a meal and to blackmail me into acting a certain way to get a meal. I could just be myself and create my own meal, and that meal never tasted better when I did it.
Nice, mate. Well done. Yeah. Now, I did overhear on one of your your podcasts that was it the first, and this made me, I was like, well, like balls of steel, mate, doing this. Was it you knocked on somebody's door with, you saw their lawn was messy or something like that, and you knocked on their lawn, and you said, can I mow your lawn or something?
Yeah, I don't know if you or any of your listeners have suddenly had like a realization, you know, like, why has that not been done before, right? That kind of moment. And I had that. I'd been homeless for 5 days, and I walked past this house in Cambridge, which is where I grew up in England. And there was a big house with a really messy garden. And my brain just kind of said, why to someone who has such a beautiful house, have such a messy garden? It didn't make sense to me. So I thought, well, maybe they need someone to tidy up their garden for them. They clearly got money. It's a big house. They must have money. So I'll go offer to clean up their garden, and just knocked on the door, and some instinct kicked in me saying, hi, I'm Simon Squibb. I'm 15 years old. They must have laughed inside. But I'm Simon Squibb. I've got a gardening company, and I would like to take care of your garden for you. And the guy kind of looked at me, and I thought, because 15-year-old me was very confident, I thought he just looked at me and went, you know, sure, this guy's got what it takes, let's do it. I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he looked at me and went, I'll give this poor sod a job.
Sure,
how much do you charge? And I made up a number of £200 at the time. I said, £200 a month, and I'll make sure it stays in good condition. The guy was like, sure, let's do it. Nice. And that was it. Wow. I said, great, I'll see you next week, walked away, you know, not knowing anything else, just thinking, well, and as I walked away, I thought, this is just bloody amazing. I have really just earned 200 quid there.
Yeah.
All I've got now is start the work every month, 200 quid from nothing.
So, okay.
Don't have a website, don't have a sales pitch, don't have a business plan, don't have anybody working for me, don't have any equipment, no idea about business, no co-founder. That's fucking.
Well, this is a perfect scenario of how, like, I think a lot of people would argue. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, but this, and I bet you didn't have this and this and this." So, in my head, I can picture this. You've been on the streets for five days, okay? You see this garden. You've not got a penny to scratch your ass with. All right, you knock on this door. Yeah, okay, you can start next week. Okay, I need at least a shovel or, you know, a rake.
A lawnmower.
What do you do with no money? No, like, this is why I'm trying to get into your head as an entrepreneur. I was going, okay, how do you think as opposed to everybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it. I've got no tools.
It's like, I'd be like, I need shears. Am I going to get shears? Am I going to get a lawnmower? And
defeatist mentality that people have, I think.
I have this conversation with people that I know can be entrepreneurs and don't realize it every single day. And sometimes, you know, in the Vikings used to call it burning the boats.
Mm.
But basically, you get to an island and you want to conquer it, burn the boats, because you can't go back to your old life, burn the boats.
And
the boat was burnt for me.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Right.
I had to make it work. So once I made that first realization and got that first client, I then had to get more than one client. Yeah. I knew I needed scale. So then I knocked on, I think, about 100 plus doors that day.
Right.
And I remember the number that was more important is I remember getting 11 clients say yes.
Nice.
So that was £2,200 a month.
Right.
Right. And so, and this is 25 odd plus years ago, a lot of money. And so I went home. It was a Saturday, I remember it. I went home to this kind of squat thing I'd found myself in. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Don't have any equipment. What shall I do? And so I had a brainwave to go back on the Sunday, and I knocked on the 11 doors that said yes. And I said, thank you very much for confirming yesterday. I'm going to be your gardening firm. So here's what I'm going to do. And I gave a little contract, a piece of shitty paper with a list of things I was going to do. And I said, I need a 50% deposit. And they gave me the cash, every single one.
Wow.
Nice.
I took that money. And I went and bought secondhand equipment. eBay didn't exist then. So I bought it basically all around. So I went and bought all this cheap equipment. I rented a couple of things from B&Q. And, you know, basically I got enough to do the work. And then the next problem came. I had the equipment now. The next problem came a week later when I started doing the work, that I couldn't do the work. I wasn't capable of as a 15-year-old.
Oh, right, yeah.
So basically, I then had to go back to the squat I was living in and get all the guys there that also desperately needed money to come and help me.
Nice.
And within 3 months, I had 18 people working for me, 40.
Yes, mate.
And to be honest, it's not that I'm a genius. I say to people, it's sometimes, you know, the human race have one superpower that no other animal has. We have a frontal cortex that allows us to predict the future, right? So we, you know, if a fish sees a hook, it will always bite that hook if it's got food on it. But we have the ability to predict what could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens sometimes when this part of the brain is overstimulated is fear kicks in. The more experience people have, the worse that gets. So they can't take risk the older they get.
That's it.
The brilliant thing in my life was that I had no choice to make money. I had to survive. I had no national insurance card because I was 15 years old. You need in England to get a job. So I couldn't get a job. No one would give me a job. The only places that jobs were available were like pubs. Can't go there. I'm 15. Mm-hmm. Wine shops or something. Can't go there. I'm 15. And I don't have my national insurance. Had to start a business. Brilliant for me. Didn't realize how amazing that lack of choice was. And then when I forward projected with my cortex what could happen, I didn't predict any of the things you just mentioned. So it didn't stop me doing it.
Right. Yeah.
Once I started doing it, it was just a step-by-step process.
Mm.
Everybody can start a business for nothing, absolutely nothing. But most people will say, I want to start a business. And the next line, they'll say, I need £10,000 to do it. And I say, no, you don't.
Mm.
You can go register your social media handles for free. You can ask a few potential clients if they buy off you for free. You can talk to some potential employees and see if they would join you and how much and what it's all about. Maybe one would join you and invest. for free, right? And that process I learned through hardship. And that whole, like, you need a wonderful website and a wonderful brochure, and you know, all of that is bullshit. That's what your frontal cortex tells you from experience you need based on the social media bullshit you consume, for example. And it's not true. It's all a step-by-step process. Everything is.
I think the another, in my opinion, a vital thing to have as well, which I think it snowballs, is the confidence. I think to have confidence as well, to actually open your mouth and speak to people and ask, I think goes a hell of a long way. You've got the confidence to just, because if you don't ask, you don't get, right?
But yeah, what was your drive though, Simon? What was your drive like at 15? Did you, was the driver you wanted money, or was the driver survival, or did you want to be successful?
Okay, so I sometimes kind of go back to that time to answer that question in a deep way, but I think it was a combination of ignorance,
right,
which was brilliant.
Yeah,
really brilliant. I wish I was more ignorant now. Sometimes I know too much now. Sometimes it's annoying. I think just sheer hunger.
Right.
You know,
literal hunger.
Literal hunger.
Literal hunger.
Like, I learned, by the way, you only need 1 meal a day.
Yeah.
Don't need 3 meals a day. That's bullshit.
Mate, I've been doing that the last week. I've been having 1 meal a day and I feel great.
Yeah, you don't need it, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm back on 2 meals a day just because I like food so much.
food
is. It is.
But as a general rule, I realize you only need one. But that one cannot be a shitty piece of toast.
No.
Right? So. I basically just literally, and I don't like to ask people for money. I don't like to ask for handouts. The English system, social service system, about 2 months into this business I was building, finally caught up with me and said, you should not be in this position. You know, you're 15. We, the social service system, will now kick in and provide you with some accommodation and some monthly money. You should be back in school, right? I told him to fuck off. Yeah. At that point, first of all, it's not in my nature to take from anybody,
yeah,
right? The government, whoever it is. But they put a bit of paper in front of me. It was almost, to them, it was the legal requirement that I signed it in their minds, yeah? And I said, look, why would I don't want, I have enough ability to see how many people have got caught in that very existence. And I don't want to be in that situation where if I get a job, I'm penalized by you're not paying my rent anymore.
Yeah.
And therefore, I don't have a fucking job.
Yeah.
And more importantly, at that point, I have my own business. And if I start taking your social money, you don't want me to have any other income stream, because somehow that's, you know, it's in their mind, you're taking from the social system and you're taking money from this company you're building.
Yeah.
So I took great pride in saying no to them. Although many people who I did talk to about it, like, you know, social services would give me money and accommodation. And like, well, why wouldn't you do that? You can just sit at home playing Sega Mega Drive. Might show my age a bit.
It's a good console, mate.
Yeah, it was a good console. You can sit at home with your mates playing that all day. And I remember having that debate with myself, you know, yeah, I could just sit back playing computer games all day, pretending to I like school, which I don't, and just sit back. I don't have to go back to my mum, so it ticks that box. But I just knew that was a trap,
yeah,
just like debt, the trap that I was not going to fall into. And thank God I told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the easy choice,
yeah,
but it was the hard choice. But I'm so glad I went through the hard stuff early, so that I came out the other side with this, like, you know, amazing life I ended up having.
Well, funny you should say that about debt, because I read this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you heard of that book?
Of course.
Probably have, yeah. And he was actually saying in there about using debt to make money. And I think you're against that, right? Or you don't, maybe it's an old school way of thinking?
No, it's a super intellectual way of thinking. The author is a very clever guy.
Robert Kiyosaki.
He's morally corrupt, and he believes money is the most important thing in the world. And I don't.
No.
So I love money. I've made a lot of money, and I believe people can make a lot of money without having to leverage debt. Now, what he talks about, it's a very complicated subject. There's a whole book, of course, on it. But the bottom line is that people perceive there's two types of debt, right? There's bad debt. Mm-hmm. Let's call it debt that doesn't generate you any income.
Yeah.
And then there's good debt, which is, you know, you use other people's money to make you money. But in reality, right, and I see this in a lot of people that I know, good debt kills them just as much as bad debt does, right? And they let's say, for example, the easiest analogy would be they own 1,000 properties through good debt. And let's say those 1,000 properties, the headline is they're worth 20 million, but they have 15 million in debt,
right?
So they've made 5 million, right? The most miserable people you'll ever meet.
Mm.
And so every single day they're managing some property nightmare, or the fence has fallen down, washing machine doesn't work, or they've got people working for them that are dealing with those things, that having days off sick, and they're stressed having to fill in for them. Basically, they've got this whole life built around this perceived net worth that is a miserable piece of uninteresting shit.
Yeah.
Mm. And they're not doing what they were meant to be doing, which may have been building a water pipeline in Africa to give clean water to people there, which might not have made them millions, but would have fulfilled them and made them happy. And they would have found someone out there that had the same moral code as them and live an incredibly happy existence in a mud hut, perhaps. And that is a better life. Mm. Some guy rushing around fixing everyone's washing machines, but his net worth is 5 million. Fuck that. Yeah. And so I'm not saying you can't make money many different ways. I'm saying I think that, you know, there are some elements of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I like.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there is an element of, like, he says, if you own your home, then that's a liability, not an asset, which is true, technically. Right?
Sorry, Simon. Me and him have had arguments about this. Because I say, he says, well, you say it's an investment. I say it's not an investment. No, because you're spending money to keep it, you know? I suppose, in my opinion, the only way a house is what you call an asset is if you bought a house to do it up, to sell it.
Yeah, or you rent it out.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
But even then, which I think, you know, is the definition of a good debt investment, it's not necessarily what you're meant to be spending your time on. And there's plenty of ways to make money.
I was talking about that. I was talking about that at work today with this contractor on site.
What?
Actually, about buying another property and renting it out. And he's done it. And he was like, mate, I'm telling you, don't do it.
Really?
It's a pain in the ass. There's a people. Yeah, but he didn't go and inspect the property
right
on a regular basis. But by the time he got to it, it was in a shit state. Ended up costing him loads of money.
Yeah, but you can arrange monthly sort of viewings with your...
Yeah, you can, but he was managing it himself.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
okay.
So many people that will sell that dream, you know, and I feel like...
But is it a good move? Like, to me...
And Airbnb is the other thing as well, you know, people are making a lot of money.
Make a lot of money, which I think this is where people go wrong, and I think this is why I'm a millionaire, because I never once chased money.
Hmm.
Everything I've ever done... I ended up having a purpose in the business that made me want to do it.
Mm.
And that made me mean sometimes, some months, I lost money in business because I cared about reputation. I cared about doing things right. I wanted to sleep well at night, you know, and those things matter more than I made an extra million,
yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's not talked about enough.
Yeah.
In business, it's all about how to make money and how to make money faster and how to, you know, compound and bad debt and good debt and all that shit. What's not talked about enough is how you make your money is more important than how much money you make.
Right.
Mm.
Because I've noticed as well over the years that there's more and more people nowadays that are driving to be their own boss, to try that self-employment, to do something other than the 9-to-5. Why do you think that is? In my opinion, I think it's because people in now, like the retail, for example, you know, they're just, it's impossible. It's just so difficult for people nowadays because you're working your ass off just to pay the bills, to go back to work to pay the bills. And, you know, people, and that's what happened to me, Simon, you know, and I never used to be driven. I would actually call myself a driven person now. And it was only till I think I had like this midlife crisis. I was.
Oh, you're 40.
Hey.
40 is older than that.
So I was, you know, I flunked in school. You know, I was, all I wanted to do is make people laugh, you know, and just act around like a class clown. And then I was just in retail jobs. And then later on in life, I got to management and that. And I thought that was a great achievement for me, you know, when considering most of my friends, most of my, probably my family thought he's never going to make anything of himself. But I started getting these palpitations and stuff, like almost like anxiety attacks, like time's running out. I don't want this to be my life. I, you know, I've got a son, I've got a daughter, a wife. And what I did, I was a branch manager at Screwfix for 10 years. And on the 5 years into that, I was like, no, this is not good for me. I need to do something. There's something more in life. So I did Amazon. I did eBay. I did Twitch live streaming. I did YouTube. Anything I could to try to get some perpetual money coming in, where, and the YouTube just for me just ticked loads of, you know, boxes, because I'm a big show off, like being on the camera, and I love playing games. So I thought, if I can be a YouTuber, and that's how I started, and thankfully it kicked off and this is where I am now. But now, because I've tasted that little bit of success, it's driving me to say, actually, yeah, you're right, Simon, anyone can do it, because I feel like I'm like, you know, advocate of that. But yeah, I was a complete bum back in school. Couldn't be bothered with it, you know? And yeah, there is hope.
It's mindset, mate. If you've got that mindset to say it's going to fucking happen, it's going to happen, you know?
Absolutely.
And it took you a long time.
Yeah.
And that, you carried on, you never quit, yeah, you know? And that's the mindset that you need.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult these days because everything. Well,
I think one of the issues is the school system is broken.
Oh yeah,
the school system.
School system is
over years.
Oh yeah, shit, yeah.
It's a global problem, yeah. Not just a youth problem. The education system, it actually makes me a little bit angry.
I've got to be a little bit careful here, mate.
Why?
Because my wife.
Oh shit! Yeah.
That's all right.
The teacher.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for teachers. It's not teachers' fault.
No, I know it's not.
In fact, the teachers in my school were the only thing I liked about my school.
They are amazing.
The system the teacher had to work
Hearts
on.
Of gold.
Yeah, most teachers are literally working for next to nothing to help the exact people I'm talking about. The system is letting them down on.
Yeah.
The whole model, I actually haven't met a teacher who doesn't think the education system's broken and needs a fix.
No, it's ridiculous.
So, the teachers are definitely not the problem. The problem is basically the hierarchy of needs, right? So the way it works, we all know the school system, but the way it works is that whole system was designed to really make motivated Ford factory workers that could afford to buy a Ford car and go on holiday and drive that car, but would come back to the factory because they don't know anything else.
It's 50 right? years out of date. Never been updated. That's cool.
You don't teach financial literacy because you don't want them to realize that buying a car is pointless.
Yeah.
You don't want to teach how to build a brand because you want them to work for Ford.
Yeah.
So the whole school system is designed, and I was part of that, so I know, to trap you into thinking. I did this. They just think there's jobs you could do. Yeah. But there's a job center in the UK. Yeah, where's the fucking startup center?
Yeah.
And so it's just all designed to get you a job.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
And that's people are waking up
to the system. To keep you in that system, isn't it?
Totally. And people say, oh, this, everyone's calling themselves an entrepreneur now. Good. Mm. You know, good. Everyone should not be holding someone else's dream, someone else's day. I tell the people that work for me, don't work for me, work for yourself.
Mm.
Now, there is exceptions where people believe in your purpose, which is why I think purpose is important. I say people don't work for me, they work for my purpose, right? So I don't manage people, I manage purpose, right? And so that's different in my mind. People choose to help you with your purpose, yeah? They're not working for me. But working for someone else is a mistake, right? Yeah. You're selling time, not buying time when you do that. And school teaches you that it's risky to work for yourself, but it's not risky to go work for some fuck-ass company doing something God only knows what, they might change their mind tomorrow, and you're not in charge.
I have to stop you there. I mean, I personally that's my view, okay? Because I felt like I'm sick of working my ass off for other people to make money. Yeah, that's what I thought. But there's gonna be a lot of people out there, Simon, to say, hang on a second. I'm quite happy with my 9 to 5. I like to know that I can get up to work.
Not many.
Well, no, but there are still quite people that are quite content to saying, I like my job. Yeah. I like what I do. I know where I am.
Mm.
I don't need, you know, extravagant holidays and all this. Yeah, what do you say to that, Simon?
I say that they have not experienced the full matrix yet. Mm. So, I mean, you can argue it's the concept of like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think that means you should be ignorant. Mm. What I have noticed is those people that say that have not seen the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. They've suppressed their natural purpose. And that is a shame for the universe. You know, about getting mystical about it.
Yeah.
Because what happens is and I see it in a lot of people. They kill their ambition. They stop being a kid. They no longer dream because they think it's not possible. Someone's told them it's not possible. There are exceptions, and I think it links to purpose. I'm going to say, like a nurse, for example, often their purpose is to help people, so that a hospital and that structure gives them the ability to do that. That is different in my mind. That is you serving your purpose. You've discovered what you love to do and you're doing it. But I think, you know, that's when nurses should be paid more. That's a whole different story. Yeah. But I feel like generally 90% of people I meet are not happy in their job. Mm. And slowly, to accept that shit job they've got, they give up on the ambitious things, or these the potential ambitious things, and they shut these things off. And it's a shame, because they're meant to do something big.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are afraid to take that risk, because I always say, don't I, high risk, high reward. You know, sometimes I think in life you just got to take that risk and that plunge to say, do you know what, sod it.
Yeah.
The education system, again, I blame it. You know, the education system of our previous generation too. They it's almost like a brainwash, like people believe owning property is an asset. We're brainwashed, you know, because why? Because banks want to lend you money to buy a house. So they've done a really good job on the marketing.
Mm.
And people think, well, I've got a job, I've got no stress. You have got stress. Plus you're missing out on life, and you've only got one life. Yeah. It's very short.
But the other option of not buying a house is either rental or buying it outright.
You're using your frontal lobe now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you're saying, so I don't know, let's say I'm getting a bit of on my TikTok now, a few comments. I've just looked.
But they're going crazy, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So, but I think basically what the issue is sometimes is people's. Let's say you rent versus mortgage is what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the equation, right? Right? If you don't like Elon Musk owns no home.
Yeah, yeah, right? No, yeah.
And lives.
He owns Twitter, though.
So you think about it. He spent $44 billion on Twitter. How many properties do you think he could buy?
Oh Jesus, yeah.
See what I mean?
So he doesn't own his own home.
No, he doesn't. No, he sleeps around his mates' houses and stuff.
Really? And this is what you realise.
He's a workaholic.
This is what you realise. This is what I've realised when I become wealthy. I didn't realise I already had this philosophy to get wealthy, because you need this philosophy to get wealthy. But I didn't know this until I was wealthy, that none of this shit matters. This is all consumer bullshit, right?
You've got to live somewhere, Simon, you know?
Okay, yeah, you've got to live somewhere.
You've got a family, you know? You've got to live somewhere.
Yeah, so just a hypothetical, right? You buy a camper van.
I've got one on the drive, mate.
Yeah, you got one on the drive.
Yeah.
So sell the fucking house, go in the camper van and see the world.
Yeah, and have
the camper van. Love to do that.
Yeah, yeah, but my kids have got to go to school, you know? No, there's always something in the back of my mind that's going to stop me doing that, though. That's the thing.
System has trapped you.
Yeah, I know it has. But on 90% of the population is trapped, don't they? You know?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think from an early age, I wish I could have this conversation 20 years ago.
No time like the present.
Yeah, I know, but it's easier.
How old are your children?
12 and 9. But it's easier when you haven't got a mortgage, when you haven't got kids in school, you know? I'm got a dog.
Like a free spirit. But you actually, your YouTube channel is actually dedicated to, you've given yourself 700 days or something to build up businesses for people, or I can't.
A little bit of clickbait. And it's in 700 days, I'm building a billion-dollar company.
Is that the purposeful project?
Yes, the purposeful project.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I find is a lot of people will give advice on business. One, they've never done it, and I have done it. I built 18 companies. But, you know, people give advice on business. But I find it quite an interesting idea to actually show people by doing it.
Yeah.
So I've built hundreds of millions of company, but I haven't built a billion-dollar company. So I thought it would be interesting to do that. And so, but one of the things about it for me, it's about my idea around this is I'm building a billion-dollar company that my community will own.
Right.
And so it's not about me owning a billion-dollar company, which is one thing, but it's about building something together and sharing the experience of building and that journey. Because every single business I've built, I have a whole new set of experiences and a whole new set of potential advice based on that experience. And so I thought that this time I would build something in public and share the process with people and the learnings and how some things will always be the same, like a trademark of your business, for example. That will not change because that is an important part of building a business. Mm. People don't do.
Yeah.
All the way through to more, you know, the more update stuff like Web3 and decentralization and NFTs and cryptocurrency and metaverse and how that all plays a part in building a business today. So it's kind of the new world and what we're heading into and what we've learned from the past is still relevant type gig. But yeah, I'm building a billion-dollar company in the next 700 days.
Excellent. Just one company.
Well, it is a billion-dollar company.
I thought on the purposeful project, I'm probably naive, I'm probably wrong, but I thought you was trying to build 10,000.
So the mission of the business is to help 10 million people start and grow.
Okay.
That's the mission of the business.
Right.
But my way of displaying what we're actually doing at the purposeful project is we're building a billion-dollar company that helps 10 million people start and grow a business for free.
Oh, right. And your YouTube channel is called just Simon Squibb, right?
Well, I've got two. Yeah, my personal one is Simon Squibb.
Oh, okay. So how do people get onto that program?
You can just go to my website, simonsquibb.com.
Yeah, we've looked at that. It's flashy website you got there. Yeah. Nice.
I'm a millionaire, you know. What do you expect?
One thing I wanted to ask you as well, what's your theory? Because also I can see you've got a virtual reality headset in the back there. And that's exactly where my YouTube channel started out originally, is with virtual reality and, you know, playing games and that. What's your thoughts on the metaverse?
So
it's very split, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I always look at it from an entrepreneurial point of view. I think that like anything, it has the potential to be complete bullshit and it has the potential to be game changing. Mm. I think the internet is like that even now. You know, there's some things on the internet you're like, oh my God, this is so awful. And
I think it's really scary. If that happens, like the social media scene becomes a VR reality.
Like, yeah, but it's already scary. If you went back, every single person I looked at was looking at their phone.
Yeah, everyone does now, don't they? Everyone's glued to it.
Right? If you go back 20 years ago and you showed that image in a video, you'd be like, this is the future, human zombies.
Yeah.
You know, like, I walk past my wife and we fell in love walking past each other, yeah? Now, we'd both be on the fucking phone.
Yeah, you'd miss each other.
We wouldn't have the amazing life we've had together.
It is scary.
Something else on Tinder.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like it's but I also think that, you know, you've got to embrace the future.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like metaverse for me, it's like it has its strengths and its weaknesses. Some of it is bullshit, some of it's definitely the future. But you know, you have to embrace the future and be in the arena to make a difference.
Yeah.
So I'm all in on metaverse stuff.
You are, yeah?
I am.
What are you playing at the moment on the virtual reality?
So I'm building a product called Entrepreneur House, which is basically a place where people can come for free and stay and get help with their business. And then we will get that on Netflix and broadcast it. And then big part of it will be inside the metaverse.
No way.
Hey, that's a good idea, right?
I know.
He's got some good ideas.
Yeah. What about your crypto? Are you into crypto or anything like that?
So I'm always cautious on this point, just because the short answer is yes, but I don't want people to go and buy crypto.
Right.
I don't want to encourage people to go and buy crypto.
It's massively.
So I'm not saying go and buy crypto. The money in the gold rush was made by people selling the shovels. So I say to people, you know, if you want to do crypto, it's gambling. Accept it. You buy crypto, it's gambling. You can influence it almost zero unless you're Elon Musk. You cannot influence it. So better to invest in the crypto ecosystem around things that you can influence. So, for example, if you built a house in the metaverse and you have people go there and then they sponsor and be a part of it, that you can influence all of that, right? And I'm part of the crypto world if I do it.
Right.
I'm not fucking buying Bitcoin and keeping my fingers crossed and then trying to call myself an entrepreneur if it goes.
I think it's a risky game. I've put a little bit of money into it, but it is a risky game, you know.
Everyone's had a little play with it, haven't they? Dream about being a millionaire from crypto.
Yeah.
No chance, mate.
It's a little bit of like jump on the bandwagon, but you know, I've got a feeling.
I look at it as an education. You know, take 1% of your net wealth and buy a .eth domain name and buy yourself one crypto that's worth nothing right now and hope and play around, you know, like learn. I just use it as an education. Invest in yourself as an education, but don't buy into these things. That's why I don't like stocks and shares as well. Like, you buy into someone else's company and then keep your fingers crossed that they make you rich.
Yeah.
Take control of your own destiny. Don't hope someone else will make it work for you.
Yeah, yeah. Because I noticed actually that you said on Twitter about how many domain names have you bought recently. What, can you explain or shed some light on that?
Yeah, no. So about 15 years ago, someone bought my company website address and then blackmailed me to give it to me. Oh, sure. So from that moment onwards, I've been obsessed with buying my website addresses so that people can't blackmail me. And that's led me to also buy domain names. You know, at one point, like, I was in Hong Kong and they suddenly released a .hk domain name. So it wasn't a .com.
Yeah,
it was .hk. So I bought candles.hk and I bought printing.hk and I bought all sorts of things. And some of them I gave to friends, like my friend who had a candle company.
Yeah.
I gave him candles.hk as a gift.
Nice.
And others I turned into businesses. And so... but I just enjoy, you can buy a website address and suddenly feel like you've got the beginnings of a business, right?
Yeah.
So I actually bought I bought entrepreneurhouse.com today. I paid a lot of money for it. And I, you know, it's kind of exciting because it also brings some sort of legitimacy to your dream that you've got in your
head. Yeah, about. Get that little stamp of it. Yeah.
So before that, I had entrepreneurhouse.live. And so, you know, it's not quite as, it's not exciting as a .com, right? So a .com, and it's just one more level of credibility to your idea, one more level up in the economic moat for people to copy you. And it just feels like progressions. And I bought over 250 domain names under that kind of premise, because there's also a whole thing about SEO, right? If you've got entrepreneurhouse.live and you've got entrepreneurhouse.com, .uk or whatever, .co.uk, then you begin to build up, you know, an SEO system too. So it's just, it's like, it's my idea of a hobby. It's people maybe have collect stamps.
Yeah.
I enjoy buying these things and playing around with it, which is probably why now GoDaddy is one of our big partners and sponsors. They sponsor our podcast, and they partner with me to help entrepreneurs start businesses. And I think it's because they've probably seen how many website addresses I've bought.
You're keeping them afloat, mate.
So what's your podcast name, Simon?
So I have two podcasts. One is called the Unicorn Podcast, where I interview billion-dollar founders, and they tell us how they went from zero to a billion.
Wow,
and the Unicorn Podcast. I just had Anne Boden, who started Starling Bank, on, the guy who founded Shazam and how he sold it to Apple, first massive acquisition for Apple.
Oh,
and then I have something called Pep Talk, which is just a 20-minute podcast with an expert who shares their deep knowledge on a subject like marketing, for example.
I've watched a couple of your pep talks. I did that yesterday. Yeah, I watched a few of those.
Oh, great. Yeah. No, so no, just useful bit, snippets of insight into entrepreneurial life and a bit of knowledge, hopefully, that helps people start a business or grow their present one.
I get the impression you live and breathe this, right? Is there ever going to get to a point where you just go, enough's enough, I want to just do nothing now? You know?
I did that 3 years ago.
Oh, did you?
I retired at 40.
Did you? You look, you can't be over 40, can you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit over 40. And so I retired and I had a baby, or my wife did, I supervised. And I was a full-time father for 2 years. Absolutely amazing. Can't get that time back. So having those, you know, those 2 years every single day with my son, just absolutely magical.
Yeah.
But I like working.
Yeah.
I like being a productive part of society. I like helping
brain
people.
Going, doesn't it?
Exactly. And so it was a bit of I look back at with fond memories of those 2 years with my son, but also I went a bit mad, really. You know, I had too much time, and all my friends, people, are, you know, they're all working.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
like, hey, let's go to the spa for the day, and I'm like, we're working, Simon. I'm like, let's go play golf for the day. We're working. I'm a bit young for it as well, and also I felt like when the pandemic hit, I could help. Yeah. So
hats off to you, Simon, for doing that, mate. Because, like, you know, a lot of people out there would be, do you know what? I've got the money. I've got all the businesses. I've got all the connections, whatever. You know, if you want to go out there and be, you know, get to the place where I am, you go and do it yourself. But you're actually actively going out there and helping people for free, you know, with your TikTok and your YouTube. It's amazing, mate.
Yeah, it's really nice.
You know, there should be more people like that. Absolutely.
Everybody's trying to sell you the millionaire dream, but they want you to buy their fucking ebook. You know what I mean?
Simon, this is why I went the other way, and I told my team this every single day. We will never charge people for help. Very important. We don't ever, because that's what everyone else is doing. They're promising people, you know, like you say, the entrepreneurial millionaire bullshit, and then they just sell them a course or sell them some piece of crap. And I don't want to be doing that. I want to be giving people help with no catch. The advice is more pure that way too. The support is more pure because there's no agenda to give you just enough that you buy my course. It's literally like, just what do you need? We will provide it. And it, as I say, it's in my mind, I'm going back to that 15-year-old me and helping.
Yeah.
But I'm also going back to the, you know, the 5 to 15-year-old at school who didn't get the fucking help that they should have got. You know, school is free, but in a way it hinders you. And so I wanted to provide something that helps people have a better life. And I absolutely love that we have no agenda. And it's really core to what we do at the Purposeful Project.
And you said, we're going to probably wrap it up now because I've taken a lot of your time, and time is money. But just, I'm interested in the places you said you've lived and visited. What's the nicest place you've been to, you'd like to go back again, you've lived in?
Oh, so many amazing experiences I've had, so many. I'm so lucky. By the way, money is not time. Time is far more valuable than money. Yeah? But the different places I've lived, and by the way, this is one of the weaknesses of making too much money, is that you end up liking bits of everywhere, and it's very hard to settle and be happy.
Right.
So I absolutely love Hong Kong, but I absolutely love London. And I absolutely love Bali. I spent a lot of time in all of these places, and it's very hard to be happy in one place because you always crave what you don't have.
I was going to say, that's from one spectrum to the other, Bali and London.
I know, that's what I mean. Yeah, so yeah. I love the culture of London. I love the hustle. I love what can get done. But you know, it's not sunny every day and you can't surf.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're a surfer?
No.
Oh, come on, man. Come to Newquay.
Come down.
Well, I'll take you surfing. Okay. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, mate. So I can surf. I wouldn't say I'm a surfer. The other thing I would say is Newquay's fucking cold.
Yeah, it's lovely, man. In the summer.
Yeah.
You've not been in the summer. September. Yeah. September, mate. When you want
right, to. So 28th of July to the 15th of September, right? Something like that. It's nice. Yeah. But I feel like Bali is nice all year round. And I guess what I'm saying when you ask me the question like places to go, it's like I love all of these different places for different reasons. I loved San Francisco. Mm. Napa Valley. Almost bought a house there not so long ago. I absolutely love New Zealand. Got family there. That's a big reason why I love it too. The world is just so fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
So many interesting places, and I try not to get into a rut on any of them.
Yeah.
And experience them all the time. Even places where you think, oh, like I opened up an office in Nairobi, you know, in Africa, and people think, oh, that is that an awful place? You tell people in England or London about Nairobi, they're like, oh, was it a dump? I'm like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an experience again, you know, it's a cultural experience. There's a lot of entrepreneurial hustle. That's an up and coming part of the world. A lot of, because it's a developing country, they're kind of leapfrogging, you know, there's no roads, so entrepreneurs are building whole new ways to get electric cars around, you know, like they're not relying on governments. Infrastructure is being built, banks for example are being built by new startups, not by banks, because banks aren't trusted, because then, so that it's just a very interesting ecosystem. Right. And I feel like a lot of people have perceptions about places. They've either only spent 2 weeks there on holiday, or and they've come back and got a perception of that place. Yeah. Based on some interaction, or they have never been there and never experienced it, and therefore are missing out and don't know. So I love London. Entrepreneur House is the product I'm working on now is actually in Tunbridge Wells, okay. Which is 15 minutes from London Bridge. I mean, enjoying experiencing the country. As soon as Hong Kong gets its act together, I'll be out in Hong Kong again, enjoying dim sum on top of the peak, which overlooks the whole city. So everything in the world has some appeal to me, frankly.
Yeah. Well, Simon, mate, I really appreciate the insight of your life and opening up a bit as well. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
I could talk for hours.
To be honest with you, I could.
So many questions.
Because, man. Like, you know, what you've actually accomplished in such, I would say, a short time. You know, you're saying I've got this over here and this in this country, this these multiple businesses. It's like, you know, sometimes it takes people a lifetime to achieve one, you know, one business. And you must have such a focused mind when it comes to what you want. And also, I would probably imagine as well that you've got a damn good team around you to get things in order. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And without that team, and this is the thing, nobody is self-made. People say self-made millionaire, and I think I've said it a few times. I say it tongue-in-cheek because no one gets here on their own. No one. We all need help, and the strongest people ask for help.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it is an amazing journey, but we all need a bit of help, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. And is there any other links or anything you want to sort of plug before we say goodbye?
No. If anyone wants any help, if you're an entrepreneur and you want help with your business, or you're starting a business and you want a community to support you, then just visit thepurposefulproject.com. There's loads of resources there, and we have a community there that can support you. We call it Entrepreneurs Helping Entrepreneurs. And if I can personally help you, you can connect to me and my team through simonsquibb.com.
Excellent. And I tell you what, if you are in Cornwall,
yeah,
sometime, it'd be great to have you in here to have another little chat. Eh?
And we could go for a surf.
My son was making me look at the map yesterday of the train to Penzance.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how far away that is from you guys.
Penzance.
40 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my son is obsessed with trains at the moment. It's 4.5. It's like, let's go on that train.
Yeah, do it. There's one that runs all the way across the coastline, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right, the sea through the little tunnel, and that's really nice.
Oh, yeah, you'd love it, yeah. And also, I noticed that you're friends with Gordon Ramsay, and he lives in Rock, so maybe...
I was in Cornwall for a month last year.
Oh, okay.
And I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's a really beautiful place. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, enjoy your evening, mate. Thanks a lot, Simon.
Thanks, Simon.
Take care.
It's been great.
Cheers. Bye, guys.